Bethany, I'm a very happy girl because a present came in the mail for me yesterday.
Ooh.
Even though that present was from myself.
You are worthy of presents even from yourself. What was it? Was it a man?
It was the most beautiful necklace from Orate. And yes, this is a commercial for Orate, but I bought this necklace. I spent my own money on it. It's this gold herringbone chain, and it's kind of like that type of necklace that sits flat on your collarbone. It's lovely.
Look, if you haven't heard of Orate before, they are a fine jewelry brand founded by women for women. You can get pieces that range from classic to statement to completely original. They make the jewelry you've always wanted but could never find. It was made by women who were wearing really expensive jewelry and then looked down and saw that there was a green ring around their finger made from this supposedly high quality jewelry. And they were like, you know what? This is dumb. We should be able to get good jewelry without paying insane prices.
And Orate is all real gold. You can wear it in the shower. You never have to take it off. You can do sports. You can sleep. You can cook. It's my favorite brand of high-end fine jewelry, hands down. I had a friend last year who got a necklace from her boyfriend from something that rhymes with Biffany's. And she's like, do you mind if I return this and then go to Orate?
Wow. And besides transparent pricing, by the way, Orate has now teamed up with Klarna, which has my favorite commercials on TV, to make their items even more accessible to all of you. Basically, when you use Klarna, you can shop now and pay over time. It's just a more flexible way to get what you want from Orate. I have several pieces from Orate, but right now I'm mostly obsessed with this ring that I have to get. It's their Femme Gold signet ring that is like surrounded by all of these different dates, and it has to do with all of these different incredible women throughout history, but it just looks like this amazing signet ring. I need to get it.
There's nothing that I don't like from Orate. I want it all in my closet.
So for 20% off your first Orate purchase, go to oratenewyork.com/taste and use the promo code TASTE. That's 20% off with no minimum spend, and they rarely have discounts as high as 20% off, so we encourage you to shop now while it's going on.
This is the best offer out there, and it's exclusive for our Acquired Taste listeners. So once again, go to oratenewyork.com/taste and use the promo code TASTE to get 20% off. It's A-U-R-A-T-E newyork.com.
oratenewyork.com/taste with promo code TASTE.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication, and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen Heaney, your packing away my summer sandals for the year, organizing my shelves with these amazing clear shelf dividers. The less I care about a plant, the more it thrives, friend.
And I'm Bethany Watson, your Japanese horror zombie comedy watching, nap taking, I hate technology friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. Thank you so much for taking time out of your week to hang out with us for a little bit. This week, we're talking about...
Kathleen, something that I only recently realized I have in common with Brad Pitt.
What?
And it's not... sexy. It's not something that I'm bragging about. It's a medical condition that I only recently realized I have, or I'm pretty sure I have it. I'm going to talk about something called prosopagnosia, or
what?
Face blindness.
Oh.
This is when you cannot recognize faces.
Mm-hmm.
And way more people have it than even realize. And I guarantee we have listeners right now who have it and don't know it. And I'm not going to get super medical about it. I'm mostly going to talk about my experiences and sort of how I cope and how I realized I have it. But it's fascinating. And I'm excited to sort of dig into it because I would love to hear from people who also have it and have figured out ways of coping with it.
I am fascinated, Bethany. Fascinated.
Yeah, it's wild and it explains a lot. So I'm excited to talk about it. What about you, Kathleen? What are you talking about?
I'm doing one of my favorite segments. I haven't done it in a while. I'm doing Weird News Rundown.
Yeah, I was hoping you were going to do Weird News Rundown. It's my favorite.
And this is how I decide if a story is worthy enough to go into the segment, if it makes me belly laugh when I'm reading it.
Yeah.
I can't. Bethany, I'm thinking about... Okay, I just want to give you just a little hint. There was a woman who fell down a ravine and her cat saved her. Also, I'm just going to say this phrase, stingray faces.
I love stingray faces. They look like they're smiling all the time, but they can kill you with their jab jabbers.
Oh, okay. Before we started recording this podcast, Bethany, you were like, Kathleen, I am so embarrassed. And I was like, Bethany, save it for the pod. Okay. What's going on?
So, Kathleen, if you listen to the bonus episode this week, you know that we had a massive problem with a Skype lag, which prevented us from recording for about 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean, it was really bad. It was like, you know, sometimes when we're trying to sync up and see how bad the lag is, we clap on three.
Yeah.
And I would clap and then 45 seconds later, you would clap.
and so like it was causing this massive problem.
Yeah.
It took us a really long time to try to like jerry rig a way around it.
Yeah.
This morning, it was still a problem. And so instead of recording at my apartment, I had to come all the way to Brooklyn and use Dennis's sweet, sweet Verizon Fios.
Aww.
And as soon as I got here, Dennis realized what the Skype lag actually was.
What was it?
It was not my internet. And I could have been recording at home right now. It was because I had my VPN on and my VPN was pinging off of Ukraine, I think.
Oh my God.
And so it was taking a super long time for any signal to like do its thing. And it's my fault and I didn't know. And I'm really sorry.
I forgive you. You know why? Because I was looking through boxes for different types of earbuds to help us record better. And I found like all of my old drawing pads and my notebooks and stuff that I've been looking for. So thank you for that.
Oh God, you're very sweet. So, okay. So Kathleen, I asked you last week to look through and play the VCR tape that I found on the street and gave you a couple years ago. Did you get a chance to look at it at your mom's house?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
And I will try to remember to do that again today.
Okay, so we don't know yet if it's haunted and if it's going to haunt your mother's house. Or maybe you're going to get a phone call that says 7 days. Or I don't know, maybe if it's a procrastinating ghost, you're going to get a phone call like a week later that says like any minute now.
Any minute now. Well, I'll tell you what, I've already had a streak of bad luck because I freaking dropped my phone on a cobblestone. And
when does it? You texted me over the weekend and said you've shattered your phone. What happened?
Bethany, I dropped my phone on a cobblestone, you know, and I'm the dumbass that like has an expensive phone and then doesn't put a screen protector or case on it.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
But Bethany, here's the real sticker shock for all of this. OK, so the new iPhones are out, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if I'm going to get a new phone, I'm going to get the new iPhone, right?
OK, sure. It's expensive.
It's expensive. It's part of our job to have like new technology to know what's going on, right? Okay.
Sure.
If you buy the new Apple iPhone 13 Pro Max with AppleCare, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even like at the second to highest setting, 512 gigabytes.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think that costs to buy the phone outright?
I think the guy said it was like $999.
Or higher.
Oh. Is like $1,200
or higher?
Is it $1,500?
Bethany, it's gonna cost me $1,700 to get the new iPhone.
Kathleen,
not even at the highest level of. I mean, it's insanity. Anyway.
There's no way that's worth it. There's no way that's worth it unless you're like the social media person for Gizmodo or something. Like, that's insane.
It's crazy. So I went on the Hoboken Reddit and I asked for suggestions today for places to get my phone fixed because that it's just $1,700 Bethany, it's insanity.
And the fact that, like, you know they're not paying their laborers very much to make that phone. So it's just stupid.
No.
When we worked in Tribeca, there was a place on Canal Street I could have pointed you to.
Yeah.
It was a guy who would take your phone and take it in the back and you would come out with a pretty great new phone screen. It negated any Apple Care you had. Like, it immediately ruined the warranty, but he would do it for like $20 cash.
You know what? That is so much better than $1,700. Like, I don't I don't own anything. Maybe I own one piece of furniture that costs more than that, and that is it. It's so insane. Crazy.
I am so glad I'm not a tech person because all of your money is gone. And you know, if you're getting the first generation of anything, it's just going to be problems. It's just going to be like bugs that need to get fixed. I always wait for the S or the XR version of anything. And usually I'm like 3 years behind. Like I'll get the, I heard someone yesterday on a YouTube video mention the, like the iPhone 5S.
Yeah.
And that was the best phone because it was like a brick of salt. Like this, for some reason, that generation was such a well-made phone.
Yeah.
It lasted forever. Nothing ever happened to it. You could run it over with a car and it would be fine.
Yes. Like,
everything clicked with the 5S.
And I'm pretty sure my mom still has a 5S.
It's probably still working great. Yeah. It can probably do your taxes.
I was talking to a friend the other day about buying a house, and we were talking about how for a large chunk of millennials, because they graduated when the economy was shit, that it's been almost impossible to save up for a down payment, especially if you live in an expensive part of the country. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you know, and these mutual friends we have, she goes, and they'll never be able to do it because every time a new iGadget comes out, they buy it. And I'm like, oh shit, I never even thought about that.
It's whatever your priorities are,
I guess.
And for some people, I would love to know if they have to get it because they need other people to know that they have the newest technology. Like if it's a status thing.
Yeah.
Or if it's like they're genuinely, do their jobs require that they have that level?
I don't know.
I don't think that level of phone, from what I saw from the YouTube, all the info in 7 minutes video I watched. Like, yes, some of them have a terabyte of data or of of memory. Great.
Yeah.
Some of them have like filmmaking type lenses where you can rack focus really easily by just touching the screen. That's great. But is that going to be important to a tech person? Like, I don't think tech people are doing a lot of filmmaking. I don't know.
I'm not a person, and I'm pretty sure you and I are on the same page on this. I am not impressed by your things. I'll be impressed by if I know, like, you live in a really expensive building. I'll be like, oh shit, how do they afford that?
Oh, look at you.
But like, if you're carrying a Louis Vuitton and like wearing a giant diamond ring and like, and you're wearing Versace, like, it's just, I'm not impressed by that stuff. Most of the time I can't even tell.
Yeah. What's the saying? Luxury is for people who want to appear wealthy.
Yeah.
I don't know what the saying is. It's like luxury brands are for people who want to appear to be wealthy. People who, and we've talked about this before, you know, people like who are super wealthy often dress in t-shirts and jeans.
Yeah.
They come into the store, they look like they're vagrants.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that like they own all of Bloomingdale's, you know? So it's like,
yeah,
when you see someone walking around in nothing but high-end fashion labels, I'm like, oh, you're trying to be someone.
I mean, I am though impressed by the people, but it's so easy to fake stuff these days. You know those Cartier bracelets with the circles with the line through them?
Totally.
I'm always so impressed when someone's wearing like a stack of those. I'm like, oh shit, that's $30,000 on their wrist.
Yeah.
But it's so easy to fake that these days. Like you can get good fakes that, you know, I don't know. Anyway, I have to tell you, I sold a piece of furniture over the weekend. And
what'd you sell?
I sold my Kent Coffee Prospecta credenza.
I don't know what any of those words mean except credenza.
Yeah, so Kent Coffee is a collectible item if you're a person who's into mid-century modern. And I just needed a bigger credenza in my living room. Anyway, Bethany, the woman who bought it, she was so lovely. Her name was Lindsay. She's like, I'm buying this from a pseudo-celebrity. And I'm like,
so nice.
And Bethany, like, I swear to goodness, as I was helping them get it from the elevator, I was still in the elevator and they were going to leave the building. The doors were closing and Lindsay yells out, tell Bethany I love her.
Oh my God, that's so sweet. Did you sign the credenza for her?
No, I didn't. That would ruin its value.
A credenza is just a side table, right?
A credenza, yeah, it's like a sideboard, but a lot of people now use credenzas as media consoles, you know?
Well, shout out to Lindsay. Hello, Lindsay. Thank you for buying Kathleen's credenza. Kathleen, I have a list of things that I need to get done that are on my too hard pile because it's just these little things like laundry or running to the pharmacy. And that is why I'm so happy that we've partnered with the Pill Club. This is one less thing you have to worry about. You can take it off the too hard pile and you can put it in the shredder because it's done.
I can't tell you how many times I've forgotten or been too late to the pharmacy to pick up my medications and they're like, whoops, sorry, we restocked it. And then they try to run it through the insurance again and the insurance is like, but you already got this. And I'm like, no, I'm a procrastinator and I didn't get my medication in the first place. That is why I love the Pill Club, because life is stressful enough. Access to your healthcare shouldn't be.
And with something like birth control, you need to be taking that and refilling that on time. So the Pill Club carries over 120 FDA-approved brands. Most brands of birth control are free with insurance or Medicaid. Otherwise, even if you don't have insurance, prices start as low as $9 per month without insurance. And you're spending $9 per month on stupid stuff. You know you're going to that store that rhymes with Schmarget and you're going to their like front dollar section and you're buying like 10 things of like foam things that blow up in water that you don't need.
Like lavender scented shoe cleaner.
You don't need it.
And what I really love about the Pill Club is that it delivers your birth control to your door for free in discreet packaging. Nobody is going to know what's inside that box because you know what? It's none their business.
Yeah, it's none their business, Susan. So skip the office visit and waiting in line at the pharmacy and join the club. Right now, when you go to thepillclub.com/taste, the Pill Club is offering a $10 donation to bedsider.org for every Acquired Taste listener who becomes a patient. Your donation is going to help low-income individuals get access to birth control through bedsider.org.
That's thepillclub.com/taste to get your first birth control care package and donate to help more women in need of affordable birth control.
Remember, thepillclub.com/taste. You must use the link to make a donation. Okay, so Kathleen, you know there are people who say they never forget a face, right?
Yeah.
I've never understood that because I cannot remember faces. And there have been times where I've been watching like shows like Law and Order where, you know, they have someone come in and work with a forensic sketch artist to try and sketch out what the criminal looked like, right?
Yeah. So if you ever did that, you would just be like, I don't know.
It would be. I've always wondered how they did that because I cannot tell you what a face looked like. So I have there are tests to diagnose what is called prosopagnosia or face blindness.
Wow.
And it's thought to be the result of brain abnormalities, brain damage in some cases, impairment in the right fusiform gyrus, which is a part of your brain. It can result from having a stroke, a traumatic brain injury. Some people with autism have it, but you could just be born with it. And I know you're laughing.
I shouldn't be laughing right now, but I'm just imagining someone falling and hitting their head and them yelling, no, no, my fusiform gyrus.
Oh, ow, my gyrus. Here's what the deal is. So there's a test online to test if you have it.
Okay.
And the test involves pictures of famous people's faces, but they've gotten rid of their hair. They've cut out the hair. They've cut out the body. So all you see is the face. No neck, no nothing, just face. Mm-hmm. And if you have like true facial blindness, you don't recognize those faces. So the first face in these tests is like Angelina Jolie. You know, there's like Tom Hanks. There's different British people that people might recognize.
Yeah.
And I can recognize those faces because I've seen them a bunch.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think there are milder versions of it, or maybe I'm just an idiot and can't recognize faces.
Of course, there's milder versions of everything. You know, it's like some people have celiac disease and some people just have gluten intolerance.
Yeah. So what I have found is that until I see someone's face like 8 to 10 times, I won't recognize it. So if I see you, Kathleen, I recognize you immediately because I know you're Kathleen. I've seen your face a million times. However,
yeah.
If someone asked me to sketch you from memory or to help someone else sketch you from memory, I could not.
Oh, really?
I couldn't tell the person if you have big eyes or small eyes. I couldn't tell them about what size your head is, what shape your head is. I could tell them everything about your hair. I could describe your body. I could describe your clothing in detail, but when it came to your face, it is like the most average non-face in the world. It's like you took a face and put a gauzy lens over it. I can tell there are eyes, nose, and a mouth, but in my head, I cannot picture it.
Wow.
So this causes a lot of problems when you work in an industry where you have to meet new people all the time, or you're trying to network and remember people. And Brad Pitt has done interviews. He did one with Esquire where he said, a lot of people think that I'm a jerk. A lot of people think I don't like them because they think I'm disrespecting them, but he just doesn't recognize them.
Oh, that's, I imagine that's really frustrating.
It's incredibly frustrating. And it's actually pretty common. It's estimated that one in 50 people have it, and many don't realize it. One in 50 people have it.
That's very high.
It's so high. So one thing that I've realized is that social media helps so much because I am able to recognize a face after a lot of repetition.
Yeah.
Some people can't. Some people never recognize faces. Some people don't recognize themselves in a mirror. Like, that's the severe case of it, is you look in a mirror and you don't know who that is.
So I, you know, it's funny that you bring this up because I sometimes have I have trouble keeping character straight in sci-fi shows like Game of Thrones. They all look the same to me.
Yeah.
And so Neil and I started this new show this weekend that's also a sci-fi show. And he accused me of being asleep during the show a handful of times, but I was just really trying to pay attention and remember the names of the characters.
Yeah.
Especially if the name is something that's not like Amy or John.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. What's a name from Game of Thrones?
Samwell,
or
is that from Game of Thrones, or like Khaleesi, the Khaleesi?
Yes. When you put a crazy name like that with a face, I'm never going to remember ever. I'm going to be like, who's that person again? Who's that character again?
So for you to remember a face, you need to have a name to go with it?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if you're, when you're watching television shows like that, do you also have trouble keeping characters straight when there's a lot of like so many characters?
Yeah. I never remember character names ever. So like when it comes to shows like that, I don't even bother. One of the reasons that I actually started talking about this is because Dennis and I were watching some movie and there was a reveal of like, and the killer was actually this character. And he like turns around and everyone gasps. And I asked Dennis, do we know him? Because he had been in the movie the whole time, but I didn't recognize him. And so that's what made me realize that this isn't, that this is like more serious than I had ever really thought.
Yeah, yeah.
And even this morning, I was watching a video about prosopagnosia, and the guy doing the interview had a picture of himself on this iPad that he showed to these people who have like true facial blindness.
Yeah.
And he was like, who is this man? And it was him. And I brought the video over to Dennis and I pointed to the picture and I pointed to the interviewer and I said, are those the same people? Because I couldn't tell. Even having them side by side, I couldn't tell. And I found that the hardest thing for me is when the person has no identifying characteristic, nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Like they don't have like a wonky eye, or they don't have a giant nose, or if they don't have a, you know, piercing, if they have nothing special about their face, I will not recognize them, even if I've just seen them a couple minutes ago.
Wow.
It's nuts. And I think if you're having a hard time picturing what this looks like, gentle listener, like take a picture, Google a picture of just like a person, just Google like average white man. And then if you're on your phone, lock your screen, like put the tilt lock on and turn your phone upside down and look at that average white man's face upside down. That is the amount of detail that I think people with facial blindness recall, where none of it really seems to make sense. Nothing is identifying. It's hard to even take a picture of a famous person and flip it upside down and see how much you're able to actually identify of it. There's not much.
So when you're doing a big event, like you were doing the Global Citizen Festival this weekend, when you're working with people that you've never met before, but you have to work with them on that specific day, do you remember, you remember things about their hair and clothing so you can help better identify them?
Yes. Yes.
But if you were to see that person again with different hair and clothing.
Nothing.
So I wonder if people who really want to be memorable, if maybe some people have signature looks, so someone can look at them and be like, oh, that's Zooey Deschanel. She's the one with the glasses and the dark bangs, you know? And I wonder if that's why some people create signature looks.
You know, even if it's not why they do it, it's incredibly helpful. Like, again, I probably could not describe Anna Wintour's face to a sketch artist and make it accurate, but I could tell you she has a blunt bob, she has blunt bangs, and she always wears sunglasses, and she's very thin. Like, I could tell you everything else. So there's an article from the website ElevateNetwork.com, and it's ELLEVATE Network. And it's a woman who says how she handles networking with facial blindness. One of the things is that it can actually help improve your memory because you are forced to focus on other identifying characteristics about a person you meet that will help you remember them. For example, she says she's often better at bringing back up details about a person like, oh, I remember that they have three children. I remember that they live in, you know, Chelsea. I remember that they went to Spain last year. Because when she's talking to this new person, she's actively trying to compensate for the fact that she's not going to remember their face. So if she has someone with her who can say, that's John, you met him last year at this thing, she can be like, John, oh, he's the one who went to Spain and has three kids. And so she's actually better at networking if she has a wing person to help her remember who that person was. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. That's like in the movie Devil Wears Prada, where Anne Hathaway is whispering in Miranda's ear like, oh, that's the Duke of so-and-so.
Yes.
And that's his new wife, Valerie, or whatever, you know?
Yes, totally. She also said that sometimes she's just straight up honest with people. She'll say, look, I'm so sorry I didn't remember you. I actually have this condition. It's called prosopagnosia. It affects one in roughly 50 people. I'm so sorry. I'm really happy to see you again. Like, now that I know who you are, I'm really happy to see you again. Or, like, excuse me, I'm so choked up. Or she has had something happen, which I have also done, which is you introduce yourself to people you've already met, which is very insulting to those people.
It sucks.
So she'll often now say, glad to see you, instead of happy to meet you. She never says happy to meet you. She just says happy to see you, which if you ever interact with someone who's like very powerful, like the head of a company or like even the head of like your local automotive dealer, a lot of times they'll say good to see you because they have no idea how many people they've met. And so they just say see so as not to offend anyone.
I'm trying to remember the last time I made that mistake where I introduced myself to someone I'd already met.
Have you done it?
Oh, yeah, I've definitely done that before. But, you know, sometimes when you're meeting large groups of people, like many people at once, even if you don't have facial blindness, it's impossible to keep anybody straight.
Totally.
So I went to a Taste Bud meetup this weekend.
Yeah.
And I had to say to someone, have we met before? Like, this isn't the first time we're meeting, right? Because if you say, this isn't the first time we're meeting, right? It doesn't make them feel as bad. You're like, oh.
That's actually a great coping strategy. Because even if it is the first time you're meeting.
It's not offensive.
It's not offensive. And they may feel, I don't know, would you feel special? I might feel a kind of like a familiarity at least with the person.
There was a Taste Bud who I was looking at her from the back and I didn't recognize her right away from the back. When she turned and saw her face, I was like, oh, obviously, like we've met before and I remember where we met and I remember, you know, you were talking about living on like a fifth floor walk up and you weren't going to be ready for the New York winter.
Kathleen, you are one of the best people I've ever met at remembering people's specifics. Every time we go and see our accountant, Sal, once we remind him what a podcast is, you're always like, how's your kid? And who's, you know, how's so-and-so? And you went to so-and-so place. And I'm like, I barely remember, you know, Sal.
No, could you? Okay, so Sal is a really good, that's a really good example, Bethany. You and I have both met him a handful of times. I've seen him more recently than you have. But could you describe what his face looks like?
I could tell you he has like a short haircut, like almost a buzz cut. Mm-hmm. And I could tell you that he blushes really easily because every time we see him, I make him blush somehow. But I couldn't tell you his nose size. I couldn't tell you if he wears glasses or not. I couldn't tell you his eyes. I couldn't tell you if he has big or small lips. I think he has a tan.
Yes, he does have a tan.
The best way I can describe it is like if, let's say you're awful at drawing. Picture a cat in your head.
Okay.
Like a real cat, picture it in all its detail.
Okay.
And now draw that cat.
Uh-huh.
What you draw is going to look nothing like what's in your head, right?
Yeah.
I can picture Sal in generals, and I even feel like I could see his face. But if you asked me to specify his face, it would come out like that badly drawn cat. Like, I can't actually put it into practice and tell you what I see. And it's so frustrating.
Here's the thing about people who draw well, though, and this is like a little secret that people who are really good illustrators don't often talk about, is that they've practiced drawing noses and hands and hair and shape of face. Yeah,
it's not a perfect one-to-one comparison. I'm just trying to think of, like, for most people, how to make this similar, you know, like it's a similar type of non-communication where, like, you have the info, but it doesn't present itself right and you don't actually have the info.
So I have an interesting proposal for you, and I don't want to give you any homework, but I'm just hypothesizing right here.
Yeah.
If you started practicing drawing people's faces.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you looked up on the internet how to draw different types of noses, and you like spent a whole day doing noses and hands and hair and lips and eyes and stuff like that. If when you met someone, you looked at them and you thought about the type of nose you would draw for them and the type of lips you would draw for them, if that would help you better remember what they look like.
That's a great idea. It's so I think, like, officially, there's really no treatment for this.
Yeah.
But I would love to try that because it might help. Social media helps so much because because I can learn a face, seeing someone over and over on my feed, and also because their feed comes with their name, it automatically links their name to their face. So there have been so many times where I've run into someone who I've maybe only met once, but I see them on social media all the time. And I can be like, oh, you're so-and-so. Like, okay, we're talking about Sylvia, Taste Bud Sylvia. Like,
yeah.
I know Sylvia's face because I've seen her face on social media.
Yeah.
If I saw Sylvia, I would know.
You would recognize her.
Yeah. And so in that way, social media is so incredibly helpful if you have something like this because it's drumming that face into your head over and over and over and over and over again.
That's why I think people who use avatars for their profile pictures, I'm like, stop doing that. Use your actual face.
You're ruining it for everyone. So the woman who wrote that article for Elevate New York, she needs to see a face about 80 times before she'll remember it. So she's like, she's worse. At least I can learn a face. Some people never will. But the interesting thing you brought up, drawing.
Yeah.
There is an artist named Chuck Close.
Okay.
He is famous for doing these huge photorealistic portraits of faces.
Huh.
He has facial blindness.
Huh.
So he is able to recognize parts of a face to the point where he makes them look like photographs. I've seen one of his pieces in person. It's the size of a wall and it's so well done. It's upsetting. It's like so realistic. It's upsetting.
Yeah. We have a friend who can do that, and she's done a portrait of me, and I'm like, this is insane. It's crazy.
Wild. But Chuck Close has facial blindness. He doesn't remember faces. Some other famous people who have it. Jane Goodall had it. Our ape friend, primatologist, Jane Goodall had it.
Oh, okay.
Oliver Sacks, who's a British neurologist, has it or had it.
Oh.
Steve Wozniak, the co-founder of Apple, has it.
Really?
Uh-huh. U.S. Senator and the former governor of Colorado, John Hickenlooper, has facial blindness.
That must be so hard when you're a politician.
If Kathleen, everything I've learned from the show Veep. And she had Gary, her bag man, tell her everything. And that is what I need, is a bag man to go, that's the princess of Persia. You met her back in 1982 and she recently broke up with her husband and now she's dating a guy. And then you're like, oh, how's your new boyfriend? I already talked about Brad Pitt has it. And then the English actor Stephen Fry, who's in like all the Harry Potter some of the Harry Potter movies. And he's well known. He did a bunch of stuff with Hugh Laurie back in the day.
Yeah.
Facial blindness. So it's definitely a thing. And I think if there's anything you take from this, it's that if someone doesn't remember who you are, try not to be offended. They may literally not be able to identify your face. It's just as easy as that. And they're not trying to piss you off. They're just trying. They're doing their best.
Let me help you remember me in case you ever need to help an artist draw me.
Okay.
Okay. Pointy elf ears.
I never see your ears, Kathleen, because we're always wearing headphones.
Headphones. Pointy elf ears. I have a connected earlobe. Very pointy chin, i.e. referenced Reese Witherspoon. and then a very pointy nose, i.e. reference Lily Sobieski.
Okay.
Sobieski. Okay. Yes. That's it, Bethany. That's how you do it.
And I know because we've talked about them. I know your cheekbones are pronounced. And I can see them as we're talking. Your cheekbones are great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like I could tell the sketch artist, give me a Reese Witherspoon chin.
Yeah.
With a touch of that Lily Sobieski nose.
Uh-huh.
Some of them Gandalf ears.
Yes.
And cheekbones like Naomi Campbell. And then give her some blonde highlights and the kindest heart. Can you make her heart shine through her kind eyes? That's Kathleen. She's the one who did the crime. Find her and put her in jail. Kathleen, I need you to praise me for something everyone does, but I feel like I really need to be complimented about it, okay?
No problem. I'm here for you.
Guess what I just did?
Did you brush your teeth?
I just brushed my teeth. I hate brushing my teeth, but I did it, and it's actually freaking enjoyable because I use Brush.
Well, I used my Brush for a full 2 minutes last night before I went to bed, and I'm telling you, my teeth still feel clean this morning. Maybe that means I don't have to brush them.
No, you definitely still have to brush them. But because we use Brush tooth brushes, we get this sonic clean, but for a much better price than those crazy high-priced sonic toothbrushes that take up your entire top of your sink with the giant chargers that have to stay plugged in all the time. No. Brush is sleek. It's got a modern design. It's got a bunch of awesome matte colors. And the charging stand is tiny. The charge lasts a month. It's so much easier.
And I love the 6 unique modes that you get to customize your brushing experience with. Because some days I'm like, yeah, I had a lot of candy. I need Max. And other days I'm like, ooh, let me do the gum setting. I need to give a little TLC to my chompers, you know?
Mm-hmm. And if you're like me and you keep your litter box under your sink and it's like open, how often are you dropping your toothbrush into the litter box? It happens to me more often than I'd like to admit.
Yeah.
That's why the subscription program comes in handy. Never forget to change your brush head again. Brush ships you new replacement heads every 6 months, or if you're me, a little bit sooner, because you need to have a spare when you drop your toothbrush into the litter box.
Bethany, what color do you have?
I have lavender. What color do you have?
Swoon. I have the pink one, but I think I might upgrade to that like apple red color that they have soon. So, gentle listener, get $15 off of your Brush toothbrush kit and refill plan when you use the promo code TASTE at BRUSH.com.
That's $15 off using the promo code TASTE at Brush.com. BRUSH.com. Brush.
Ugh. Look at this adorable corner couch that they have right on the homepage. This is an amazing shape for a sofa if you have a small apartment.
Oh, Joybird knocking it out of the park again. Look, Joybird Furniture is a partner we've had for a while. Joybird is going to help you make the home you want. You don't have to walk into this giant showroom of beige and brown colored furniture that every other person with, you know, sticky children has sat on and is looking at. If you go to joybird.com, you can find such unique pieces for your home, no matter if it's a tiny home or if it's a giant home, whether you have kids or pets or neither or both, you can find furniture that works for you.
And for me, the most important thing about getting a new piece of furniture is being able to get it in a cool color.
Yeah.
So Joybird lets you choose from over 18,000 customizations, or you can browse their curated collections to find the perfect piece for your one-of-a-kind style. You can also book a virtual showroom appointment and chat with their showroom stylist right from the comfort of your own home. So you can be like, hey, here's my bedroom. What bed do you think would look good here?
Yeah, there's a man in it. Where should he go? And with summer winding down, Joybird has all of the modern outdoor furniture and accessories that you need to make the most of your patio hangs. So you can still get that extra time outside in a space that makes makes you feel so, so good.
And each piece is made with incredible care using responsibly sourced materials free of harmful chemicals.
And through partnerships with groups like One Tree Planted, Joybird is helping conserve and restore Earth's most precious natural resources.
And if you don't love it, you can send it back. Joybird stands by its 90-day return policy.
So create a space that brings you joy with Joybird. Visit joybird.com/taste and get 30% off your purchase.
Wow, that's a lot. That's 30% off at joybird.com/taste.
If you've always wanted a fun colored couch, now's the time to do it.
Are we allowed to use our own code?
Hell yes, we are. I'm doing it right now.
All right, Bethany, here we are with Weird News Rundown.
Just a Weird News Rundown.
One of my favorite things to even just read in general when I'm not researching a podcast topic is weird news because, man, there's a lot of weird people in this world.
Yeah, they're my favorite. They make the best news stories. I like the Darwin Awards, how people accidentally kill themselves because they're being dumb.
Yes. So my first story is a botched proposal in a rat-infested pond.
Aw, what a sweet couple.
There's so many stories like this where someone drops the ring and it goes into water. Like, can we just put out a PSA? Do not propose to someone near a body of water.
Yeah, I would also just, if you know that you are going to be proposing to someone who is an aggressive or enthusiastic eater, maybe don't put the ring in a chocolate sundae. Because if it's me, that chocolate sundae is gulp, gulp, two bites, ring is gone, and I'm confused why you're crying.
And then I have to poop into a bucket for a whole week.
Yeah.
This comes out of Lincolnshire, England. Grant Stevens wanted to be a romantic lad and proposed to his girlfriend, Millie Reese, on a bridge in the beautiful Lincoln Arboretum. It was an old bridge, a bridge that was constructed in 1872. A memorable proposal for sure.
'Twas a bonny, bonny bridge.
Until he dropped the ring through a plank in the bridge into a rat-infested pond below. He had to take off his shoes and his socks, and he rolled up his pants, and he got into that pond, and 45 minutes later, he found it.
Okay, Kathleen.
Mm-hmm.
You're his partner.
Yeah.
You excited to put that ring on?
I mean, hopefully someone was carrying a bottle of water and some sanitizer, and then, yeah, after a quick clean, and sure, why not?
It also makes me wonder how clean this arboretum is, that they know it's rat infested. Like, wouldn't you, I don't know, can you chlorinate that water? I don't know how arboretums work.
I don't know either. I don't know. But anyway, she said yes.
Aww.
But here's the part that I want to ask you about. Hmm. This is the way he proposed, according to the mirror.uk.co or whatever. Mm-hmm. He said, "Do you want to marry me yesterday?"
Is that a British thing or is that a him thing?
I don't know.
Do you want to marry me yesterday? Like, I know when people are like, Thompson, get me those files. I need them yesterday. That means, yeah, like, I need them fast. But I would, that would make me take pause.
Yeah, me too. Like, I'll marry you, not yesterday. Yesterday has already passed. And also, yeah, I would like some time to get a new dress and, like, do some highlights in my hair or something.
This sweet man. He sounds like he was trying so hard to make it special and unique. Aww. That he's like, yeah, I'm going to propose over this rat river and I'm going to say I'm going to say it different. I'm not going to say, will you marry me? I'm going to say, could you think of marrying me yesterday?
Yesterday.
And then out comes this of the flash mob.
You know, it's not that much different from when Neil proposed to me, where he had like all these champagne and flowers and whatever set up in our apartment. But the second he opened the door, instead of getting down on one knee, he had to use the bathroom.
You've never told me this.
Yeah. And I was just standing there like, there's a bucket of champagne and flowers and he's in the bathroom going, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Was it like the nervous stomach, do you think?
No, he had to like really pee because we had been out to dinner and we had drank a bunch of wine. And you know, it's fine. I was laughing. It's, you know, it makes a memorable moment. But I will never forget the way in which he sprinted off to the bathroom to like try and pee so quickly before I realized what was happening.
Oh, my God. You know, it's like that's why rom-coms are dangerous. They set too high a bar. No one can do that. Sometimes you have to go to the bathroom before you propose to someone.
Okay, this next story comes out of Texas. A woman faces felony charges for forgetting to return a Sabrina the Teenage Witch VHS from 20 years prior.
Oh, no. Those dates add up. I mean, you know, all that time. And then the fines are like, you know, it's like day by day, right? You get fined by the day.
Yeah. And then it becomes a felony charge. So a Texas woman was charged with a felony for not returning the VHS tape after 20 years. A former Oklahoma resident, Karen McBride, 52, said she didn't learn of the charges until she went to change her name on her driver's license after getting married in Texas in November of 2020. She went to go change her driver's license name and they're like, ma'am, you're a felon in Oklahoma. So felony embezzlement was the actual charge. Yep. Mm-hmm. And she's like, it wasn't me. I didn't even watch that series. I never remember renting a VHS tape for Sabrina the Teenage Witch. And that is that.
Do you think that she was telling the truth? Or do you think she's like embarrassed?
You know, what would you do in that situation? Would you just...
I'd lie. I would absolutely lie. Lie to save face. I'd be like, I don't remember anything. I don't... Melissa Joan Hart? Melissa Joan who? Is what I would say. And if I was Melissa Joan Hart, I would jump in and I'd pay those fines.
You know, the woman was like, I'm completely unfamiliar with Melissa Joan Hart. Don't even know her.
Yeah.
And she said, I never watched a series when it aired between 1996 and 2003.
Oh, she's missing out, man. Salem the Cat, that puppet cat.
Yeah, I would lie. I mean, come on. The store is defunct. VHS is not even a medium that people use anymore. It's just lie.
And at this point, you know, it's made headlines now. Mm-hmm. I think if you, in good faith, pay what you can, I'd float them a 50 spot and be like, here, this is what I have. You know, can you drop those charges?
Who's even getting that money? Because the business is defunct.
It's true. The government's getting that money, Kathleen. They just probably wanted some more chemtrail material, Kathleen.
I know for a fact that Neil has DVDs that he never returned to Netflix when Netflix was still sending DVDs.
I mean, that's the way to go. Once you know a business is about to go out, like I'm sure there are people who have blockbuster movies.
Of course.
That never. Can I tell you the nerdiest crime I've ever committed?
Oh, yes. Please do tell.
When I was in college, I needed to check out a book of plays by Chekhov. And the book was so beautiful. And I love Chekhov so much because it's just all about depressed Russians during the winter, right? Which is like my favorite season, my favorite mood. And, you know, Russians are great.
Highly relatable.
Yeah. So the book was beautiful. I fell in love with it and I wanted to keep it. And I knew that if I was going to keep it, I would have to replace it. And so I went on eBay and I found a similar book of Chekhov's plays. It was a different cover, but the same publishing year.
Oh.
And it was the same like series of plays and everything. And I bought it and it was like $3.
Oh,
I bought
God.
It and I brought it to the librarian and I said, here's the deal. I'm so sorry. I lost the book of plays by Chekhov, but I bought another one for you. Please forgive me. And she was like, how did you know this same publishing year if you lost the book?
Oh.
She's like, you went above and beyond. No one's ever done that before in the history of the University of Minnesota. And I was like, oops, and like flounced away. Yeah. And she was, I think, both parts suspicious and pleased.
Just oops, like, that's the kind of person I am.
Oopsies. It's like, here, I caused a problem, but I'm presenting a solution in the form of this identical book.
Bethany.
But it was just different enough that it wasn't good enough. I needed the one that I wanted, not the new one.
You are a criminal to the nth degree.
But I'm a criminal with solutions, Kathleen. I stole all the money from your bank.
Yeah, but you
returned
it.
But here is $50.
Oh, here's some Monopoly money worth equal value.
Exactly. Here's some doubloons.
Okay, the next story comes out of Boston. There is a famous house in Boston. Some people call it the Skinny House. Locals know it as the Narrow House or the Spite House. It's located in the historic North End neighborhood of Boston. It is two bedrooms, a one-bath home built in 1890, and it is only 10 feet wide.
What? No.
This house just sold for $1.25 million.
Friends, you overpaid. That's insane. What are the
million dollars?
You can't lay down in this house if you're my cousin Ryan.
Your cousin Ryan is not longer than 10 feet long.
No, but he's real close.
He's very close.
He's 6'11". Look at this house. I'm looking at it right now. Friends, Google the skinny house Boston.
It is so skinny. It has 1,165 square feet, which is actually pretty decent in size.
Yeah.
But a family of four purchased the house, a mom and a dad and two boys. And so housing prices in cities.
Oh my God. So it sits, it's a gray house. It mm-hmm. sits betwixt two red brick apartment buildings.
Yeah.
So it's like there was some cartoon at some point. Was it Up? I don't know. Where like all of these big highways and stuff were being built around this one house that like wouldn't give up. It's like that.
The legend has it is that two brothers inherited the land sometime around the Civil War. One went away to go fight in the war, only to come home to find that his brother had built a house too big for his half of the land. So to spite his brother, he built a skinny house in the only space that was left and blocked off the entry to his brother's big house.
That's why it's called the Spite House. That's funny.
Yeah. 1.25.
That's the kind of revenge I love, where it's like, okay, yeah, you want all this land? Cool. But this little piece of land and the entrance point to your land is my piece of land. And now you're going to wither and die on the vine, motherfucker.
There was a movie I was watching recently where there were two farms, but to get to one farm, you had to go through a piece of property that the gate was owned by the other farm. So they had to rent like a 20 by 20 square foot gate from the other farm. It was pretty funny.
That's when like neighbors become deadly. Oh, I have to rent my gate from you. I don't even like you. I don't even send you a Christmas card.
If that show is not yet on the Oxygen Network, Bethany, you need to make a pitch. When neighbors become deadly.
When neighbors become, it's like Wives with Knives and Sinister Ministers. It's like
Why Women Kill.
Yeah, Why Women Kill.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so the next story is about one of my favorite cookies, a rare Pokemon Oreo is selling for thousands of dollars on eBay.
What?
Okay.
Does it look like a Pokemon or is it a Pokemon like from a line of Oreos that were Pokemon themed?
Yeah, it's a line of Oreos Pokemon themed. The collaboration launched earlier this month, Oreo X Pokemon. It features the brand's traditional sandwich cookies emblazoned with one of 16 Pokemon or, you know, the pocket monsters for the uninitiated.
Yeah, yeah.
Each pack includes a random selection of cookies like Pikachu and Charmander, but also one extremely rare Pokemon, the mythical Mew. And it has long been the case with the rare Pokemon cards that the rarest Pokemon cookie of all time also become a hot commodity.
Holy cow.
So Mew Oreo cookies are selling on eBay anywhere between $50,000, $10,000, and $100,000.
That's it. Okay. So what we learned when we talked about eBay several episodes ago, like maybe mm-hmm. 6 months ago, is they can price it anywhere they want, but that doesn't mean someone's going to pay it.
No.
So one person's asking for like $2,500. This is nuts.
So a number of cookies have actually gone for as low as a few dollars or as more as $15,000, Bethany.
what are you going to do with that?
They sure know what they want for that.
They sure know what they want for that.
So a pack of Pokemon Oreos sold for $1,200. Yeah. I mean, it's a collector's item. Anything that is a collector's item, there is money to be made.
There, in theory, is money to be made. But the fact that they just went on sale mm-hmm. and people are already trying to sell them for this much money. Like, mm-hmm. But I've said this before. I have a friend who buys Lego sets, like the Friends Lego set. When those first came out, he bought like six and paid his rent by selling them on eBay right away. Like he just flipped them.
get out of here.
Yeah. So I guess, yeah, people know what they're doing.
Damn.
Yeah.
I have a friend who got these chairs from Craigslist. People don't know what they have. They're famous, like Herman
Miller.
Miller. Yeah.
Are they the Aeron chair in True Black?
I don't know what kind of chair it was, but it was a Herman Miller chair that she bought for like $20 off of Craigslist. Like somebody was like, I just need to get these out of like my grandfather's garage or something. And she turned around and sold them for more than $1,000.
Kathleen, Herman Miller, especially their desk chairs.
Yeah.
Are bonkers. For a while, NPR News was being sponsored by Herman Miller Aeron chairs in True Black.
Whoa.
And so I went to Design Within Reach.
Yeah.
And I was like, hi, I'm looking for a new Herman Miller Aeron chair in True Black. And the guy let me sit in it. And I was like, this isn't that special. But it was like thousands and thousands of dollars.
I'm telling you, the price of anything is only based on how much somebody wants it.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. And if someone wants it, it's like Supreme.
I don't get that. I don't get it. Why?
I don't get it either.
Why do you want to wear the word Supreme across everything?
And there was a Supreme X MTA transit card for a while. You could get your Metro card with the Supreme logo on it.
Oh,
and people were
God.
Standing in line outside MTA, which is the New York and New Jersey's like transit system, whatever, just to get the Supreme Metro cards.
For a while, I was wearing this fanny pack that I got for free. It's like has the American flag on it. Just to embarrass the people that I was with. And I was walking down the street and this group of girls were walking down the street in the opposite direction. And one of them had a fanny pack on that said Supreme. And I looked at her and I went, fanny pack. And they erupted in laughter. And the girl wearing the Supreme fanny pack was also like, fanny pack.
Amazing. Friends on the sidewalk.
That was the first time I saw Supreme and I was like, huh, I guess this is a thing.
I don't know anything about it.
That is so funny. Okay, let's turn our attention to Halloween 2021.
Yes.
And let's talk about dollskill.com.
Dollskill.com. Yep.
This is the time of year where I start having panic dreams about Halloween, even though I kind of hate Halloween, that I wake up and I don't have a costume.
You don't go anywhere for Halloween.
I know. And I always put a sheet over my head and call myself a ghost. And I get this dream every single year. I don't
Kathleen,
know why.
Put on a black dress, tie a green ribbon around your neck. Now you're the girl with the green ribbon.
Bizarre.
Done.
Okay. Anyway. If you would like to dress as a sexy Bernie Sanders, this is your lucky year because Dolls Kill has that costume.
Oh my God.
It is Bernie Sanders from Joe Biden's presidential inauguration earlier this year. You know, he was wearing sort of that like dove otter green jacket. He had his blue mask on. Yeah. He had some mittens. He was looking very cold.
They're like homespun mittens. He just looked angry with his leg crossed, like an old, sweet old man.
So Dolls Kill did a take on it with the mask and the mittens and the coat. And the sexy part is that the coat has no pants underneath.
Okay. Normally, I think sexy versions of things are so stupid. Like I bring it up every year, sexy Border Patrol agent I saw one year. However, I am 100% on board for sexy Bernie Sanders because I feel like this is a wink and a nod that we can all get behind.
Yes.
Because it's like, it's okay. It's really funny. It's really funny.
I mean, you just put a pair of black tights with it and it actually looks kind of cozy because your breasts aren't exposed, you know?
You're just showing your gams, ladies. Who doesn't love a gam?
People on Twitter wanted to know why the costume didn't come with the black folding chair that he was sitting in.
Not included. Black folding chair.
Do you have any Halloween plans this year? Are you going to dress up?
I'll probably dress up, not really going to do anything. I usually do like a little ceremony that involves like some Nordic history and some like woo-woo stuff. And it's about remembering your loved ones who have passed on and you like put pictures of them. You have little things. I have little figurines of pets I've had that passed on. Then you feed your animals and the animals like eat everything they want. And then you do like this whole little thing with candles and whatever. I usually do that. I don't really go to parties. I think I love the lead up to Halloween. I don't love Halloween.
I think Halloween's on a Sunday this year, which is kind of lame.
I mean, it's cool. I mean, look, the veil is super thin. So if you're going to do any of your spooky stuff, if you're going to do like the Three Kings experiment, you can do that. Yeah. Do you have any plans?
I have a wedding the night before. And so, I mean, I'll probably be hungover and come home and like put on a spooky movie. That's it. You know?
There you go. That's the way to do it.
Let's go back to Boston for a second.
When I think Halloween, I think Boston.
Okay, Bethany, I can't stop laughing.
I can't wait.
Okay, a group of high school students, they had to go on a field trip, but at the last second, the bus that they booked canceled.
Oh, no.
So these Boston students rode on their trip on a party ride bus with complete with a stripper pole, neon lights. A stripper pole and neon lights.
Party buses are my nightmare, but I bet these kids were having a blast.
So Jim Mayers, he's the 11th grade advanced placement language teacher at the Brook Charter School in Boston. In a since deleted tweet, he said that they didn't really care about the bus. They just had a lot of great planning for the day, and their original bus had fallen through, and he's sort of using the attention that this story is getting to bring to light the fact that there are a lot of systemic issues in education, including a bus shortage.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. Kathleen, if you are that teacher and all the kids have to go on a party bus and there is at least one stripper pole,
yeah,
do you put yourself in and around the stripper pole for the whole ride to make sure no one gets up on the stripper pole?
No, I, you know, because Bethany, I'm the cool teacher. I'm not like a regular teacher. I'm like the teacher who like accidentally slips a curse and then waves at the students.
Yeah.
Like, let's pretend you didn't hear that F-bomb.
Let's pretend I didn't mean to say it. Here's what I would do.
Yeah.
I would stand with my back to the stripper pole, wrap my arms behind me around the stripper pole, and I would say the following monologue. All right, students. There is nothing wrong or shameful about sex work.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Sex workers are a necessary part of our environment and our culture. Yeah. It's the oldest profession. And to be a pole dancer involves incredible muscles, and you have to be very strong, and they are athletic.
Yeah.
That said, you are underage, and it is not something that you need to explore right now. So if any of you even think about coming close to this dancing pole, you're going to have Ms. Watson to deal with.
Mm-hmm,
okay, you see these eyes? These eyes mean business.
Yeah.
I see you, Trevor. Back it up. Get away from this highly skilled performer pole.
Because you know that there is the class clown named Trevor who's like actually probably pretty skilled at it. You know why?
Oh, you know he's great.
Because Trevor's mom has one in her bedroom and she uses it to work out on.
And Trevor sneaks in there just to make like in the other guys where Mark Wahlberg's character learns all of these skills so he can make fun of the people who do them. So at one point, he's really good at ballet. And they're like, how do you know ballet? He's like, I studied ballet so I can make fun of all the guys who did ballet. That's Trevor. He's a skilled pole dancer.
Okay, let's move on to back to England this time. Great. Cornwall, England. There was an 83-year-old woman who fell down a ravine while hiking. And the only reason that emergency services found her is because she was hiking with her cat. And her cat knew where she was. And her cat, like, you know, was meowing very loudly and alerted the rescuers to where the woman had fallen 70 feet into a stream.
What? And she survived?
She's in stable condition.
Well, that's why you should always hike with your cat. What a quirky old woman.
Okay, Bethany, I've got two more.
Okay.
All right. In Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
You may have seen this because I saw a couple memes about it on social media. There was a rolling billboard with an anti-vaccine message to promote a funeral home.
What?
So, you know, on game day in Charlotte, North Carolina, when they, you know, people get together to watch the Panthers?
Carolina. The Carolina Go Get'ems.
Go Get'ems. Okay. A truck circling Queen City, which I guess is like a part of the city where a lot of people gather to drink and watch the sports ball. This truck was rolling around with this digital billboard that said, don't get vaccinated. And of course, you're going to pay extra attention to that because you're like, who's got the balls to write that on a billboard?
It's a bold stance.
Until you see the message below, which is the name of a funeral home.
Oh my God.
So apparently this funeral home doesn't even exist. It does have a website on the billboard, but it links over to the Charlotte vaccination clinic run by StarMed. StarMed is like, we didn't do this billboard. We actually don't know anything about it, but like, yeah, right.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I was reading this thing over the weekend, last week, I think I reposted it, about like the different stages of what COVID will feel like for if you have a vaccine and if you don't.
Yeah.
And sucks if you don't. It's bad if you don't. So that's like a very, that's a ballsy ad campaign.
That is. And I don't know if it was really done by this vaccination clinic. They're claiming it wasn't, but like, yeah, wink, wink.
Or, you know, or it was just like someone who feels really strongly about getting vaccines and is like fed up, which I think a lot of people are, and is like, you know what? I'm just going to go. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is.
All right, let me see. I'm going to send you a link now, Bethany, in the chat, because for my final story, you have to see this picture.
Okay, I'm opening this picture up.
A mother in the UK took her baby to the aquarium and burst out laughing when she took a picture of her baby and a stingray photobombed the baby's picture. But the baby and the stingray had the same exact look on their face.
Okay. If you can picture the face that is on a stingray, it's like, we'll just say the baby looks wide-eyed and worried.
Yeah, the baby is like, what's happening?
And his mouth
the stingray
is like,
also looks like, what's happening?
And his mouth is like turned down. And the stingray is it's so funny.
It's so funny. So, gentle listeners, I invite you, anytime you need like a little cheering up in your life, hit the googs, type in the phrase stingray faces, and you will not be able to hold in your laughter.
So
you just won't. Like, Bethany, do it right now. Type in stingray faces.
Stingray faces. Okay, hold on. I'm going to use my phone because my computer gets really slow. Stingray faces.
Bethany, it's so funny. Stingrays
They're
are so cute.
This one looks like a lady who's had too much cosmetic surgery.
I know.
Her lips are really big and her eyes are tight.
Bethany, some of them look constipated. Some of them look really sad. It's so funny, stingray faces.
And because they have those fins that are wide open, if they look happy, they look like they're going in for a hug.
Or so they look cute. Like they were taking a big poo and you accidentally walked in on them. Like,
Oh, I love stingrays. They will kill you. But they are so cute.
Oh, stingray faces, the chuckle that we all need.
Kathleen, you and I say all the time that we only partner with brands that we love in real life.
Yeah.
And this was never more apparent than when Dennis and I went to Crypticon Seattle last month. And he shows up at my apartment with his two away suitcases. And I show up with my one away suitcase. And we head to Crypticon together with our away suitcases. Like not matching, but matching because they're all from the same company.
I can't get enough of the mini suitcase. I have it in pink. It's adorable. When I take it to the airport or when I take it on a trip, I'm like the stylish girl in the airport, but jokes on everybody else because I can get so much in this suitcase and it's lightweight and it's super functional.
This is the suitcase you've probably already heard about. It has the built-in phone and device charger, and it's so nice because it pops right out of the suitcase, so you can use it either as a portable charger too, or when you get on the plane, it's super easy to take out. And Kathleen, my favorite part about Away's products is that they have that built-in compression pad. Mm-hmm. So you can put way too much in it. And then you do what I do. You put the compression pad over it. You sit on it. And then you yank the straps. And all of a sudden, all of your things fit into this suitcase that should have no business carrying all of that stuff.
I know. As a chronic overpacker, I really do love that about my Away suitcase. I also love that removable laundry bag that comes with the suitcase. So you can put your dirty clothes in it. And it has a 360-degree spinner, so when you're rolling it, it's like the smoothest roll ever.
Yeah, those wheels are going all over the place, exactly where you want them to. And by the way, it comes in different materials, so you can get polycarbonate, aluminum, and durable nylon in a variety of colors and sizes.
Cool colors is the most important thing when you're picking out a suitcase, right?
Totally! They have suitcases, bags, and accessories, so whatever you're getting ready to do, Away is going to do it with you.
So start your 100-day trial and shop shop the entire Away lineup, including their best-selling suitcases, at awaytravel.com/taste.
That's awaytravel.com/taste. It's like that Mary Poppins bag where she pulls a whole lamp out of her bag. Remember that? Kathleen, can I tell you about a movie I saw that I think is... I know it's my new favorite movie of all time, and I think everyone should watch it.
Oh, yes, please do tell.
Okay. I said in the intro that I had watched a Japanese horror zombie comedy.
Yeah.
This is the movie.
Okay.
So it's called One Cut of the Dead.
Oh.
And I watched it on Joe Bob's show on Shudder. Okay. I don't know if you can get it anywhere else, but it was written and directed by Shinichiro Ueda.
Uh-huh.
And there is so much about this movie that is a reveal that I am not going to tell you very much. Here's what I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
You have to watch the first 37 minutes. I think I'm getting a little burpees. Hold on.
Gross.
Edit, edit, edit.
Oh, this is so exciting. You're finally burping. Usually it's me.
Edit, edit, edit. I'm drinking soda water.
Let's talk about your toilet paper.
Shut up. Okay.
Wait, talk about what? About your toilet
Nothing.
Paper?
Bethany, will you stop it? I don't like you being in the same room.
Kathleen?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm listening.
Softball sizes of toilet paper.
You know what?
Bath. Softball size. I replaced a toilet paper the night before. I woke up the next morning. It was gone.
You know what? I prefer to be good to my body. Oh, right. Edit.
No, okay. You tell dentist that I also use mass amounts of toilet paper, and that's why we can only buy the Scott one ply, because we would go broke.
Dennis, Kathleen says that she too uses softball size amounts of toilet paper, and that's why they use the Scott one ply, otherwise they'd go broke.
Wow.
All right, I'm putting up the limousine window, so now we can't hear you. All right, so the first 37 minutes of this movie, you have to watch, like, not on your phone, not doing other things. Pay attention, because it's important.
Uh-huh.
The first 37 minutes is one take, one shot.
Oh, I know you love a good one shot.
I love a one-er. Nothing gets me more turned on than a one-er. And it's not a bunch of shots stitched together to look like it's one shot. It's truly one shot that takes 37 minutes. Pay attention to it.
Okay.
Because there are some twists in the movie that are going to be so delightful.
Ooh.
If you paid attention to the first 37 minutes.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at the movie poster for this right now. The movie poster is absolutely bonkers.
Yes.
And gentle listener, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I definitely can't subscribe to another streaming service. The thing with streaming services is that you can cancel at any time.
Yeah.
So maybe for the month of October, because it's spooky season, you want to subscribe to Shudder. It's like $4.99 a month or something.
Yeah.
Subscribe and then cancel at the end of the month. Because think about it. When you rent a movie on Amazon Prime or whatever your cable service provider is, it's like $4.99 to $6.99 a movie for one movie. So think about a streaming service where you get like thousands of movies for $4.99 for the whole month.
And this isn't an ad for Shudder.
No.
By the way, we just love them.
Yeah.
So if you want to see it, I'm trying to figure out which episode of Joe Bob it's on.
I'll look it up for you.
Okay, thanks, honey.
Is Joe Bob like a bigger show and he's like, I'm introducing you to this movie. Here it is.
Yeah, so Joe Bob Briggs is like this cult horror personality in like the world of horror films.
Yeah.
He is like this Southern guy. He wears like a bolo tie, and he has Darcy the mail girl, who's like this bomb ass chick who does the mail with him. And every episode he watches a horror movie and then cuts in and like talks about it with you.
Oh.
And this particular episode, like sometimes he doesn't like the movie. Sometimes they're awful. Sometimes they're great.
Yeah.
This movie, if you are anyone struggling to do anything that you're trying to make your career, watch this movie and then watch this speech that Joe Bob gives at the end of the episode.
Wow.
It made me do that gasp cry where like you're holding it in and then you just go. And Dennis looked over and I was sobbing. So it's season 2, week 4.
Okay.
Of Joe Bob, and he's on Shudder. So I know I'm being super not detailed about this, but The movie was a student film. It was made by a bunch of acting, I think, filmmaking students in Japan, mm-hmm. where this the class project at the end was making a film. This is the film they made.
No way.
And it is now my new favorite movie. And that's all I can tell you about it. But it is so funny. It's a zombie movie, but it's not scary. Like,
yeah.
Please just watch it and let it wash over you.
Okay.
And then watch Joe Bob's speech at the end. That's what I'm going to say. That's your homework for the week. And again, it's season 2, week 4 of Last Drive In with Joe Bob.
How cool is that?
It's Kathleen. It's so wonderful. It's one of those movies I cannot stop thinking about. And like, yes, it's in Japanese. You're going to be reading subtitles. You forget you're reading subtitles very quickly. Like, it's so worth watching.
I honestly, and I don't know if this is like me getting older, but I watch everything with the closed captions on nowadays.
I do too. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's like my hearing is bad, but sometimes I can't even understand what they're saying unless the closed captions are on.
I know. And sometimes you get information you wouldn't have normally gotten.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like sometimes you get what side characters are saying that you wouldn't have heard otherwise.
Yes. And like going back to what we were talking about with facial blindness, how sometimes it's hard to keep characters straight. When I see their name spelled out when someone mm-hmm. addresses them, that helps me a lot.
When I was in high school, I was really into soap operas,
yeah.
which really aren't on that much anymore. But anytime you get into a new soap opera, there's 17,000 characters.
I know.
I would always put the captions on because they would put the name of the character. So then I could learn who was who,
yeah.
you know, Tom Devereaux and Jay Devereaux and his evil son, also Jay Devereaux. And then be like, okay, now I know who everyone is. I can take the captions off. But captions are super helpful.
I don't mean to take a hard left here, but let's take a hard left for a second.
Okay.
Have you seen on Instagram, and maybe this is just I'm being targeted by this company.
Sure.
Have you heard of this patch that you put on your face to eliminate wrinkles? It's called Frownies.
No.
Bethany, go to frownies.com, like brownies with an F.
Frownies.com.
The original wrinkle patch. And people sleep with these on. And obviously the results aren't long lasting. Like it's 24 hours or something. But if you have like a big thing coming up and you want the wrinkles in your forehead to go away. I mean, the people on the homepage look ridiculous because they've got patches all over their face.
There's one woman who has a patch that covers her entire forehead yeah. and between her eyebrows. She looks like some sort of Star Trek alien.
And apparently, if you sleep with these every night, you prevent your face from forming these wrinkles, slash you make the wrinkles that are already there look better.
All right. What do we think? Is this just a hyaluronic acid thing?
I don't know. I follow them on Instagram. I'm like really convinced, but maybe I've just been tricked by good marketing.
I mean, it's probably, if they're not promising permanent results, it's probably fine because, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's probably just probably super, super, super hydrates your skin and plumps it up a little bit.
Yeah. It traps in all that moisture.
Yeah. I'm guessing it's just a lot of hyaluronic acid.
I wonder if I could make my own frownies with some medical tape.
Some of these. Okay. This picture is clearly photoshopped. There's one chick. She has two deep canals on her forehead yeah. between her eyebrows. And the next picture, she's tan. That you can see how soft the skin is. Uh-huh. She clearly took a blurring tool.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, give it a shot. You know, you never know. I love stuff like this.
Now that I have been totally enchanted by this marketing, Bethany, your phone's going to know. And since you just looked it up on your phone and it's going to start
right.
popping up for you now, too.
Well, I already did order the first thing I've ever ordered from a YouTube pre-roll.
Oh, what did you order?
I mean, it was so disgusting. I had to stop and rewind the pre-roll, but the pre-roll wouldn't let you rewind. So then I was stuck.
Oh.
It's this set of.
Oh, God.
Earwax cleaner tools, six pieces.
Is it the one with like the little screwdriver? Where you
with
like
the screwdriver yeah. has a little spiral on
yeah.
the end.
Yeah, you spiral into your ear and then it spirals around the earwax and then you pull it out.
I know I'm not supposed to put anything smaller than an elbow into my ear.
Oh
and
my
I
God.
Know that I've already had to have my eardrum rebuilt.
Yeah.
But that was because I was using Q-tips and I'm someone who has mm-hmm. very active sebaceous glands all over my body. I'm lucky that way. But sometimes it means that things gather where they shouldn't. Mm. And sometimes I need a little spiral
yeah.
to go in and then, you know, come back out.
I've seen that. And Neil, Bethany, like you, also has very active sebaceous glands inside of his ears. And I have thought multiple times about buying that for him because sometimes I have to remind him to clean his ears.
Oh. I'm like, you know, here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's the gift I'm going to give your marriage. Okay. I'm going to get these.
No.
For the podcast,
yeah,
I'm going to research them for you and let you know.
Okay, thank you.
I'm not going to ask my doctor first. I'm just going to go for it.
Okay, good. Bethany, I fear for your inner tubes. I do, but it's okay.
You should be excited for my inner tubes because I'm going at them with a screw.
Marketing is magical.
Pre-roll. Kathleen, my love, yeah. What did you learn? What did you learn in your life this week?
I'll tell you in 1 second.
I'll tell you after I Google facts.
No, I have it written down. Oh, I learned that duvet buttons on your duvet cover go at the bottom of your bed.
Oh.
Did you know that?
No, I don't think I ever thought about it. Is there a reason?
Yeah, because I was telling my friend, I was like, oh, you know, I might have given up on duvet covers because I just wake up inside of them every single time I use them. Like, I'm a very active sleeper. And she looked at me and she's like, you know that they go at the bottom of your bed, like not at the top of your bed. And I was like, no, I had no idea. Look at that. You learned something new.
Did she say it all judgmental like that?
Yeah, kind of a little bit. She's like, they go at the bottom. I'm like, oh, all right.
Just like Seinfeld.
Yes.
They're a close sleeper.
Let me tell you about these duvets. Miss Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned if your freaking computer is slow, mm-hmm. it's because your VPN is going from Ukraine.
Yeah.
That's what I learned. I've already talked about it, mm-hmm. but it ruined everything. And it bears repeating.
But you should only really use a VPN if you're going to buy something expensive and you want a cheaper price. Or if you're committing a crime.
I use it all the time because I'm afraid that everyone is stealing everything from me. Kathleen, did we talk on the podcast about the morning I had on Friday morning as someone was actively stealing my identity at the grocery store?
Bethany, maybe that's because they're getting your information in the Ukraine because that's where your VPN is. Did you ever think about that?
No, I didn't. And now I don't know what to do. Now I don't know which way is up.
Use the internet like it was intended to be. All of your information is out there and you just have to live with that, okay?
Oh, Dennis just sent me something.
Oh.
Only use the VPN when you are surfing the web or public Wi-Fi.
There you go.
Like if you're just, you don't need it on all the time. Like if you're just sitting around.
He's
it's
right.
only when you're if you're on a public Wi-Fi network, that's when it's really bad. But if you're on your own network, you don't have to really worry about it unless, like, I turn it on when I go on the internet because I think the internet is crazy.
What if the hacker is coming from inside the house?
Well, then that's your problem.
Right? That's why I use a VPN on myself. I don't trust myself.
It's a different set of problems, my friend.
It's a different setup. You know what? I don't like having this. Our podcast editor is also in the same room with me situation because he corrects me in real time and I don't like it.
I really love it. It would be great if Dennis could be one of those producers that like sat in and then chimed in every now and then.
I know. Mm. Some of those shows have that. And it's very useful. But sometimes you just got to close the damn door on them.
All right, Bethany, where can people follow you on social media? If you want to even give your social media name out at all.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram, Radio Bethany on Twitter. What about you, Kathleen?
I am Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
You can also follow our show on social media, on Twitter, at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out that friend group because there was a meetup in Hoboken, New Jersey this weekend. And I went and I got to meet a lot of taste buds. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. I am amazed at how every meetup, our taste buds just meld like they've been lifelong friends. And if you are someone who's feeling lonely right now, join the Facebook group because you will find other like-minded, kind-hearted individuals in that group like you.
I think it was a DM that just broke my heart. She reached out and we had talked a couple weeks ago about social anxiety. Mm-hmm. And she reached out and said that she was like this close to going to the meetup. I think the one that was like upstate a little bit.
Yeah.
And she didn't go because she was so afraid that everyone would look at her like, who are you? We don't know you. Why are you here? And that was my reaction. I was like, no, that's the perfect group to meet up with for the first time, because these are loving, loving people. And we have nothing to do with the meetups. Like,
no,
it's all on the fan page. So if, you know, something is being organized, join it. Go meet new people. It's just the nicest, loving group of people.
And you know what, Bethany? It's just so interesting to sit down and listen to someone's story sometimes. Just listen to what their life has been like, because it's different than yours. And that's a beautiful thing. And sometimes it's just really interesting to hear about someone else's struggles, and it gives you a new perspective on life.
We're figuring it out. So anyway, you can find us on Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
We have an email address, and that is acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com. Spooky season is coming up, so send us over those spooky stories. And if you just feel like digging into your creative druthers, is that a druthers? What's a druther?
If I had my druthers, I think it's like, if I had my way.
Okay. Well, if you're digging into that creative hole inside of your heart and make up a story, but don't tell us if you can make it up. Just, yeah, pretend like it's true. Don't tell us if it's fake.
And I want to hear from military people. If you are former military, if you're active military, and something spooky happened to you, I want to know. There are so many wild stories, or people who are like serving, you know, overseas and something happened. There's a lot of like haunted Air Force bases, all sorts of stuff. Yeah. If you are military, I want to hear about your spooky story.
Whoa, cool. All right. Oh, we have a snail mail address, and that is An Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
Our show is edited by the very sassy and opinionated Dennis Callow. You can follow him on social media. He's a great follow, a very good spooky follow. Dennis, C-A-H-L-O. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
And Taste Buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Good morning. It is barely 8 a.m. on a Tuesday, and I'm listening to the bonus episode from this week. And it doesn't matter that I haven't had my coffee yet. I just felt like this couldn't wait. Kevin is not the Backstreet Boy that has gotten involved with like QAnon stuff. It's actually Brian. But Kevin is sort of involved in the story, because back in January, he tweeted an article. I think the headline was, "I lost my friend to QAnon," and it stirred a lot of gossip and like suspicions of like fighting within the group. But no, Kevin is not the ultra scary right winger that is Brian. So just, you know, I got to look out for my guy, Kevin, you know, my favorite Backstreet Boy, even after 20 years later. Anyway, I hope you ladies are having a really, really wonderful week. Have a good one. Bye.
Hi, ladies. This is Facebook Jackie from New Jersey. I just have to tell you that I found this new baking show on Netflix called Bake Squad. It is fascinating what people can do with their baking skills. One day I might be, you know, a quarter of that talented. But at the end of one of their episodes, they started playing your theme song, your intro song, as like their outro almost. And I had to sit and think and kind of look around and say, where do I know that music from? Because I only ever hear it in the pod. It was the most like surreal experience almost, hearing it out in the wild. And I just wanted to share Bake Squad. It's a really cool baking competition, because the Great British Baking Show clearly does not have enough episodes to satiate my baking competition appetite. Bake Squad, Netflix, check it out. The Sweet 16 episode has your intro song in it. Have a sexy day.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen. I'm Erin from Raleigh, North Carolina. I just finished listening to the episode where y'all discussed the Barilla pasta box first, and it made me think to something I've seen on Instagram about Barilla. They have a Spotify account, and they've made playlists to match the exact amount of time each pasta shape is supposed to cook, like Boom Bap Fusilli, Pleasant Melancholy Penne, Mixtape Spaghetti, etc. It's such a fun little piece of information, and I wanted to share. Okay, bye.
Hi, my name is Leah, and I live over in Idaho, and I'm right next to Washington. But you guys are talking on your latest podcast about burying your family members in your backyard and letting them become one with the earth. And actually, Washington State has passed a law to allow eco-friendly human composting in the state. I don't know the whole logistics of it, but I've seen the headline, and it did pass legislature. So I just wanted to share with that it is happening, and you guys are onto something. So thanks, love your podcast.
Hi, Kathleen and Bethany. I just wanted to let you know that I so enjoy your show. My name is Kathleen also, on the way to work. And Kathleen, you had mentioned about ears and how you have elf ears. Oh my gosh. I have a pointed ear on one side. My brother used to always call me a relative of Dr. Spock. But I just thought it was so cool that you and I both have the same name and we both have pointed ears. I love it. I love your show and I'm going to keep on listening every day. And thank you guys so much for bringing such joy to everybody's lives. Have a great day. Bye.